Blog Talk Radio.
So we're going to hear from Steve Lerner next from the CIU, the architect of the Justice for Janitors campaign. Currently, he's working on partnering with unions and groups in Europe and South America to build a campaign to hold financial institutions accountable in the global economy.
It's hard for me to think about any part of organizing without saying what just happened in this economic crisis and what it means. And essentially, forgetting all the rhetoric, and this is a different panel, so I won't do it here, but you know, in the end, the guys that destroyed the economy, took us to the end of a depression, edge of a depression, have used the crisis they created as a justification to now eliminate unions and eliminate public workers and eliminate everything. It's sort of been a wonderful, if you want to call it that, a wonderful twist of history that they crashed the economy, and then they say, well, the economy is in such shit, we have to eliminate everything because there's no money, except we have all the money. Now, the reason I think that ties to this discussion is because I don't know how to have a discussion about labor and community if we don't first say, what is it we need to do at this time in history? What is a strategy that gives us some chance of winning? Because I spent my lifetime as a union organizer, you know, Justice for Janitors, a lot of things, but it seems we're at a moment where the world's either going to get much, much worse or much, much better. And what I want to do is just throw out a couple big ideas, not, I don't know if they're big ideas, but broad ideas of how to think about this, which is,
welcome everybody to the conservative movement, Steve Robert Jones' show. This is Cool Mike. I'm filling in for the next 2 weeks. Thank you for everyone for coming from the, excuse me, I had something in my mouth. Man. I guess I should have swallowed it before I came on the air or prepared a little better. But anyway, Mr. Jones is gone for the next couple of weeks. We're going to be filling in. We have all kinds of very cool things going on. Thank you, everyone, who welcomed me yesterday to the program, all the callers and everyone. It was great having you back. President Obama, he is going to run again. And he has now made it clear as he begins his 2012 campaign that he'll be seeking re-election. I don't know how many people saw the cheering and the cheering people for him, but it's written in the description. They're just cheering. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that we can have a country in such chaos and idiots who just follow him left and right and cheer him on. And it was the same thing with George Bush as well. But anyway, we're going to, first things first, we're going to play a little piece on This is the People. We the People. This is what they think about Barack Obama running again. And this is courtesy of the re-election campaign of who but the president, Barack Obama. Let's listen in.
Graduate,
jobs to be out there. We want people to have homes. We want people to have opportunities.
I don't agree with Obama on everything, but I respect him and I trust him.
There are so many things that are still on the table that need to be addressed, and we want them to be addressed by President Obama.
I had this perception that politics was all show, it was all soundbite, but politics is how we govern ourselves. That's what politics is. At the grassroots level, it's individuals talking to other individuals and making a difference.
This commercial is, you know, politics cliche 101. You got the church in the background, you got the waving flag. I almost expected Ronald Reagan to ride in on a cowboy with his cowboy hat. All right, I got it, dude. Second of all, you know, you got the standard, you know, you got the black lady from Michigan is swing state. You got the Latina lady from Arizona, swing state. And the white guy from North Carolina, swing state. And then, but the thing that I was most amused by is how he's put it on us. Like, he's like, look, you know, he had, remember, this is his campaign ad. These are not accidents. These are not random people that are speaking out, okay? They chose these clips to put in the ad. So they had the black lady from Michigan saying, oh, he's too busy. He can't run for president. No. He can't be bothered. He's got his comfortable slippers on. You got to do it. It's on you. Okay, so all this time he hasn't been fighting for us. But now he can't be bothered to run his own campaign. By the way, why did they put that in there? Because it seems like such a, like, curious thing if you're...
I'll cut that off right there. Stand by a second. Let me throw the headphones on. What a clip. I think it's just repetitious. And I'd like to welcome you into the chat room here, Tesler. Please feel free to call in. The number, the number is area code 347-844-8500. That's 347-884-8500. So Barack is running again. I'm sure Tesler has some comments on, regarding that. I think one of the it's so funny, it's scary, I guess, is the comment I'm going to say, and that is the fact that Barack Obama was talking about reducing gasoline prices. He's talking about new alternative energies. He's talking about all these things as if he is running. Hello, your president, once again, surrounding by the same old chocolate Gestapos that basically are filled with so much hate for the United States. And I understand, I'm one of the biggest critics of the things that we have done that are very wrong in this country. But these people that are just so angered 24/7, they do nothing but apologize for America. And granted, all these mistakes we're making, to just see that many people packed in a place just cheering for them, oh my God. And I don't know, it just, let's grab a call, which I think that's Tesler. Is that you, Tesler?
Good evening, Cool Mike. How's my main man doing? It's Tesler.
He is doing... Well, you know, Tesla, I'm doing good. I was just watching the rerun of Barack, when he announced the president, when he announced today. He announced yesterday, but today was before, like, a huge audience. My God, these people screaming and crying, and I'm thinking to myself, do they have any clue this guy has been president for 2 years?
No. They really don't have any clue as to what he is all about. I mean, and the audience themselves, were they white or black?
Was both, but mainly black. There, it was. I'll have to look. I don't know where he was. I got the video off YouTube, but mainly black.
Okay. Well, that tells you something right there. Of course, he's always going to have that black vote. Now, there's a lot of talk out there, and one of the big reasons why he carried such a high percentage of the black vote because that vote was racially based. Ha! No kidding. And. And they're going to love that man no matter what he does, because they figure, even with his mistakes, he is one of them. And, you know, while he still hasn't paid that lady's mortgage yet, as many of us know about, and hasn't paid for everybody's housing yet, they still hope that's what he's going to end up doing, because so many of the people that support Barack Obama are, they are entitlement types. They figure everything has to be paid for them, that the government is there to pay for everything, and, you know, they look to him as Mr. Entitlement.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt he's Mr. Entitlement, and we talked about this a lot with Perry Steele. What's going to happen if Tesla, let's say an example, this money is slowly but surely running out. Welcome East Coast into the GT. And okay, Perry, so here's all these people crying and kissing his feet and screaming rah-rah. I thought the roof was going to cave in. He couldn't even talk. They were screaming for him so loud. And I think this is so ridiculous. Look around you. Walk outside your front door. What planet are these people on? I honestly don't believe that there are this many just absolute stupid people.
Yes, I do, because he appeals to stupid people. You see, that's the point. He appeals to people who do not understand American history, who probably aren't that well-schooled, who probably come from terribly dysfunctional backgrounds, in the sense that they don't have a clue about what this country's about. And when they hear him talk about hope and change, and I forget what his new slogan is, but essentially it's a do-over, because he made such a dismal mistake after his election being president, that essentially, let's not forget something. The critics out there can say all they want that the Tea Party is racist and all these white folks are racist now and they're against the president because he's black. Let's not forget something. If that were really true, he would never have been elected president of the United States to begin with, because he can carry 100% of the black vote. He still needs a majority of the white vote to get elected, and that's what he got. And so that tells me it's not racism. What it is now, the independents have left this guy. And one of the reasons why I asked about the color, the crowd, is because, sure, he'll get a great crowd from that block of folks that will support him come hell or high water. I'd like to see him try doing that now on this next runaround, on this next run for presidency.
Yeah. One of the fears I have, I'm more of a very conservative, but I'm not affiliated with any party, Tesla, is that who can run against him is the big thing. As we all know, running against an incumbent is difficult. But the bottom line is, who really is going to step up to the plate as a viable marketing candidate that's really going to win? If you really think about it, even going back, Al Gore and George Bush, they had such a close election, really, because neither one of them were worth much. When are we going to see another Ronald Reagan type, a General Eisenhower, or one of those individuals who really, a Bill Clinton type, to step up and, just point out the problems that in just 2 years this individual has just, he has got to be the worst president in our history. And talking about race, he's got to be the most racist in our history. And when I say race, I don't mean black on white. I almost think he outright hates America with his policies. He has not stepped to the plate to do anything for the 50 states other than create more problems for us.
Well, I would agree with you on that, Mike, 100% in the following way. He's essentially declared war on Arizona on the immigration policy. He declared war, political war, against a Midwestern state that was trying to bust out the overpaid public employee unions. I mean, he's essentially declared war on any state that doesn't agree with his policies. And people will remember this. Independents will remember this. And I agree with you, too. He is the most racially divisive president we have ever had in the history of this country, as far as I'm concerned, and at least especially in modern times. And again, the independents out there aren't stupid. They're not going to come to him in droves like they did before. Now, to go to your original question, who is the most attractive at this point? Now, this is not Tesla's endorsement, so don't get me wrong, okay? But one of the things about Donald Trump, and I've said this before in my own shows, is that Donald Trump talks like a third-party candidate, but he's not a third-party candidate. Voting for Donald Trump would not be, it's not like voting for a third party where you know your vote's going to get lost. So Donald Trump is beginning to resonate. Look at the recent poll up in New Hampshire. He was only like 6-7 points behind Mitt Romney, who came in first. You know, that's not bad for a guy who's not running. And I think he's resonating with Americans.
Oh, sorry about that. I had a mute. Tesla, Romney came in second. Did you see who came in first place? Tesla, are you with me? Must have lost Tesla there. Anyway, Tesla, please call back in. I'm going to kind of pick up where we lost Tesla, so as soon as he comes back in, he can pick up where he left off. But the person who, in the straw poll, who beat out everybody is Fred Karger. Fred Karger, who is going to be Saturday with us for a whole hour. Tesla will be one of the panels. I guess my whole point is, I wonder who's going to step it up. And that's very true when Tesla mentioned Donald Trump. He is a good salesperson. What worries me about Donald Trump is Donald Trump a serious candidate as far as he's a great salesman, but how committed is Donald Trump to, the country? And just, I think we elect a lot of good salespeople, but I really wonder what product they bring to the table. Tesla, you're back with us, correct?
Yes, I am. I don't know what happened there exactly between my my cell phone and your switchboard, but,
Oh, sorry about that. I don't know if you heard, Romney came in second in New Hampshire. And I pointed out, I was pointing out while you were gone, the person who came in first is Fred Karger. So
in that particular poll you're referring to, that did occur. Another poll I was referring to that was taken just a day or so ago indicated that Trump had come in second to Romney. Folks don't trust Mitt Romney. He's the man that brought his version of Obamacare to Massachusetts. He's too slick. The guy's a great-looking guy, and maybe that's his problem. Just a little too slick for me.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question, Tesla. What is it that has drawn you just in the – I know you said you're not endorsing Donald Trump, but what is it you – you're not a person who it's difficult, I would assume, to gain your attention as a candidate because you've been around for a while and you've heard pretty much it all. What actually pulled you kind of to him?
There's a couple of things about him. First of all, for some reason, now let's go to the birther issue, because he's making a big issue that Barack Obama has not released his official birth certificate, and that is accurate. Now, if any other candidate tried to make that same statement, let's say Sarah Palin, the press would have blasted her to Kingdom Come. They would have blasted Palentry. They would have blasted Mitt Romney. But for some reason, how is it that the Donald can talk about this and not get that blasted? Why? Because he can handle himself very well in terms of the press. Now, I think one of the reasons why people are catching attention or watching the Donald, is because we're in bad economic times. I mean, people are hurting out there. There's no employment. And he's probably, of course, one of the consummate businessmen of all times. I think people are looking at him because they want the economy to turn around. And right now, from a practical experience in terms of what he's done with business, he may be the most qualified.
Well, he's certainly a good salesman, and I have heard him talk. Another blog talker, no, he's not a blog talker, he's a streamcastic, T.J. Thompson, played a recording where he addressed, what was it, what's going on like last month, the National Conservative or what, the CC, whatever it was, that they were all going to these meetings, conservative, what have you, and he talked, he gave a very nice speech, whether or not it was, how valid, whether or not it really came from the heart, I don't know. But it did also kind of gain my attention. And speaking of that, have you really prepared your questions yet for Saturday night? For Fred Carter?
I prepared my questions. No, I've not had time yet to research them. Although I assure you that by the time we get to Saturday night, I may have a simple. A simple question or two to ask him, yeah.
Well, you know, Kessler, I want to see, for those who don't know why I'm laughing, is I want to see how well he does his research. Because anyone who does the research on the, who listens to the Perry Steele show from when we had the State of Socialism, I want to see if this guy does his homework and makes a comment to you when I say the first question is going to come from Kessler. And he makes the comment, well, I'll try to stick around longer than the last guy. But getting back to the main topic, my head right now is just so filled with so much confusion. Honestly, my brain is almost like a forest fire that's just, I cannot believe all the problems we have. I could not, as a conservative, I could not believe the Republicans themselves did not, like, throw Bush out of office. Because this never would have happened from my readings on the history of older politics. Can you ever remember a situation where we had a president in just 2 years that was this horrible? I mean, I know a lot of people, even in my own state, never liked Jerry Ford, but I wasn't around then.
Yeah, I can remember Jimmy Carter. He wasn't quite as bad as Obama is, but you may not have the biggest negative thing that Jimmy Carter was noted for was a speech he gave to the American public, and it was called the Malaise speech. It was such a downer. It was so negative. It was so something like, oh my God, we're in such terrible situation. I mean, and with no positive input from the president, nothing. And generally, that speech is what just turned off America to Jimmy Carter. It's not what we want to hear. What we want to hear is what you're going to do, not how bad it is. We know how bad it is. And Obama at least has avoided the Malaise speech, although he's come pretty close to it. I think what we're not seeing here is the kind of American leadership that we expect from a president of the United States, not a person who's attempting to be president of the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, how was Jimmy Carter on foreign affairs? Obviously, his whole term was very much was saturated by the Iran the hostages. But, like, how was he, like, with other countries? Well, I mean,
he was essentially the same as Barack Obama, if not more so. There was no respect from other countries, from our enemies. I mean, if you remember right, the hostages were held in Iran for 444 days and were released on the inauguration day of Ronald Reagan. That ought to tell you something right there. Do they want to fool with that guy? I don't think so. Let's send these American hostages home, because we kind of have a good idea of what this Reagan dude is going to be all about, and we frankly don't want to have to deal with him. A lot of folks don't remember an initiative called the Star Wars Initiative that was started by Ronald Reagan. Now, this is essentially something where you shoot missiles out of the sky while they're, you know, from satellites, while they're flying over and trying to attack your country. Now, this initiative alone, so scared the Soviet Union that it essentially collapsed its military. They couldn't keep up with us. They couldn't keep up with our defense mechanisms. And Ronald Reagan, if you read your history books, at least credible history books, they credit him with being greatly responsible for what we then back then called the Cold War, the end of the Cold War, the collapse of communism under Ronald Reagan. Now, are we ever going to see another guy like him again? I don't see any candidates that even come close.
Yeah, I also, I did read Mikhail Gorbachev was the president of the Soviet Union during its collapse. He credited Ronald Reagan and the Pope as two of the major key reasons for the basically collapse. And he almost, looking at what he read, it's almost kind of like what's taking place in the Middle East, where the Pope really rallied Poland, and basically once Poland kind of collapsed as far as communism, the other countries went from there. And while Ronald Reagan just outspent the Soviet Union, they imploded. They couldn't keep up, period. And
that's exactly right.
And I think now we see in the last, to actually comment on this, I don't like to claim a president did this or did that because obviously he is a leader of a country. However, when you have the president of that country outright naming two people that were the key, including an assassination attempt on the Pope, because they had felt he was carrying so much weight as far as in Poland to sway people, that clearly is history, and that should never be taken away from the history books, to which I know there's a fight going on right now where a lot of people, most liberals in the federal bureaucracy, are trying to get that taken removed from textbooks. So even when you read about history of the collapse of the Soviet Union, they really don't credit the United States and President Reagan for just the great work that he did, although the president of that country that imploded credited him. I mean,
well, that's exactly
this is
right.
Liberalism in its finest hour, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Why are they so weak? This always is so. It makes me wonder, honestly, that these people are so weak. They have no backbone. They have no thought. They have no heart. It's just attack the opposition. They really don't have facts to substantiate. One of the worst things that George W. Bush, at least for me, he is going to be the battering ram for the Democrats for the next 50 years because he was such a poor, he was just an idiot. But the bottom line is that Barack Obama not only took the torch of what George Bush has done, but he has just spun us in such a horrible direction. Not to mention for an individual Tesla who criticized George Bush on everything. What has he changed? Name one thing that he's changed other than taking us from kind of socialist to even further to the left.
Well, this is exactly what he's done. I mean, that's what the problem is. You see, my perspective of George Bush years is that he was a marginal conservative, particularly on social issues. But when it came to the economic issues he was one of the supporters of why we're in the mess we're in today. Because while he was a social conservative, he was still an economic middle of the roader. He helped to facilitate the crash that occurred. He supported the very first bailout under the last months of his administration. And we've come to see that these bailouts don't work. People have to realize that Republicans are almost as much to blame for what has happened as the Democrats are. The Democrats are number one to blame. But the Republicans are almost as much to blame because they went along with the scheme. I don't know if folks remember this, but one of the reasons why the economic collapse happened at the end of, during the presidential race in 2008 was because the housing market collapsed and people couldn't pay their mortgages. Now, why couldn't people pay their mortgages? They couldn't pay their mortgages because they were getting insured mortgages from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac by legislative dictate. They were required, those mortgage companies were required by federal law to hand out mortgages to homes to people who could not afford them. Low down payments, high monthly payments. Years went by and boom, people couldn't pay them. And what a lot of people don't realize is it was the Democrats in Congress who supported this kind of legislation, especially Barney Frank, the congressman from Massachusetts, who I especially blame for what happened. But the Republicans went along with this. And as a result, we had people who were getting homes who weren't entitled to them. Again, that entitlement issue. Sure, the great American dream is to own a home. Okay? But only if you can afford it, baby. And this is why we're in the mess today. The Republicans are partially to blame.
Yeah, well, nothing's also wrong with owning a home. I mean, there are several different homes to have. Some people live in trailer parks, and that's their castle. Some, you know, live in other type of – you don't have to – if you are making a job at $50,000 a year – you can be happy in a $50,000 or $100,000 home, not necessarily a $500,000 home either, living within your
that's
means,
right.
Which for everyone it's different. But obviously that's very clear. When government legislates certain things, it doesn't so just so I know this fact, because I want to bring it up in other shows, Fannie and Freddie were obviously the center of the bailout. Now, they – were they government banks? Why is it that these two stood out as like the we had to really bail them out? Because you had mentioned government said they had to loan these people money, or how does that work?
Well, what had happened back then was there was a great push by the labor unions, democratically supported labor unions, to enact legislation that would allow folks to own homes that essentially with little or no down payment, thereby driving their monthly payment cost up significantly once you added in taxes and insurance. Now, essentially, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are two semi-government authorities that. They work with mortgage lenders to help people get loans. That's
okay.
What they do. And they insure these loans. So they say to the bank, okay, go ahead, let that person have his $150,000 home, even though he really can only afford a $50,000 home, we'll insure the loan. Well, you can insure what you want. When somebody doesn't pay, the money's not flowing, baby. And so now the government was backing up bad loans.
Oh, man. So basically mass amounts of bad loans where a huge percentage of people just were not making their payments.
That is correct.
Wow.
Freddie Mac Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, which are acronyms for these two types of semi-governmental authorities. They were companies that were insuring loans that banks were making to people who couldn't buy homes. And essentially, as time went on, just a few years, people couldn't afford it. They went into foreclosure. That collapsed the market. And, of course, that had the trickle effect of, well, I can't afford a house and I'm getting thrown out. What can I afford now? This is what had happened. That's the bottom line. And anybody who researches that will see, you know, depending on your perspective, on your political perspective, that is essentially what happened.
Wow. That explains it in layperson terms. I had seen it on news and stuff, but sometimes I think these reporters really talk to impress themselves because they need to forget that we're idiots out here and they need to talk down to us. And they use these words that I've never, ever heard of in my life. And they are talking about OMB numbers and BDO numbers. I mean, for your average person, people who are understand all that are obviously, you don't have to be a rocket scientist, but I don't understand a lot of that. They start talking percentages of this and that. You pretty much lose me. So when they were explaining all these problems, I was just totally lost, other than I knew these places were going bankrupt because people were not paying them. And not only that, but I mean, okay, George Bush, who obviously I can't stand, obviously bears some of the responsibility. But where, at least in the 2 years, have we seen any kind of improvement anywhere? If you remember when we had the State of Socialism on the Perry Steele Show, one of your issues was Libya and how the president at that time was basically, we're not going to get involved. He wasn't even on the fence. They just were not getting involved. And now, bang, here we are, involved. Not to mention getting marching orders from the United Nations or from the French. I mean, that's, for at least me, Tesla, I think that's rather insulting, and I can't see any improvement whatsoever from the George Bush administration. I see us really heading in the same car, in the same direction, but it's going much faster.
Well, let's realize something here. Let's not mince words. When the United States goes into a country and wants to get rid of a dictator, then we either go whole hog or we don't go at all. And when I say a whole hog, what I mean is you get the bastard out of there, you rebuild the country, and you make it a pro-Western democracy. Now, people say, oh, my God, Tesla, you can't be doing that with countries. Yes, you can be, if that's what you're going to do. Now, either you do it right or don't do it at all, because here's how I see what's going to happen with the revolutions in the Middle East. We're going to end up with egg on our face in every single country, Tunisia, Egypt, and now Libya. Now, you know, they talk about this Libyan dictator, Muammar Gaddafi. Now, I'll grant you, he's a terrible man. He's terrible. But he's not worse than Saddam Hussein, who we overthrew, who we took out. But the problem is, what's going to happen after we get in there? You know, Barack Obama backed the ouster of Mubarak from Egypt. Now look who's taking over Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood, a pro-radical, a pro-terrorist group that Hamas was born from. What are we going to get out of Libya? Okay, so we get rid of Gaddafi. What do we end up with? Another dictatorship, or actually a theocracy like they have in Iran? Is that any better? I don't think so. In other words, unless you're going to topple governments for the sake of them being pro-Western and pro-American, or at least siding with American interests, keep your nose out of it. Let them fight amongst themselves. They Gaddafi's bad, and so a theocracy like Iran has done is better. If that's what you think, go at it, guys. Go ahead, have whatever government you want. Just keep us out of it, because you're Muslims and you still hate America.
Yeah, well, and the bottom line is, I agree with you, but in this, but here's where. I'm not sure if I agree. You didn't go on this. If I disagree, because you didn't talk about this, but I look at it as, I think in '86 Ronald Reagan tried to prevent what we're going through now, basically by taking care of the problem then. But obviously that did not happen. I think in many many ways we approach it exactly how you put it. But I also think even for Iran. Or for Iraq, which is democracy, if we're going to do this, I think we need to get something out of it. Just as we're just a good, bigger brother, Tesla's my friend, so is Cool Mike in the United States, and blah, 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 that's not good enough. I mean, we need some of the oil and the resources, because basically what happens is we are funding all of this. In a large sense, the United States normally funds everything. Countries throw in some money, but it's always chump change. So if we're going to do that, I think basically there needs to be a financial cost eventually paid back to us by this country, which in turn will receive democracy, well, we hope.
Well, yeah, I would agree. I mean, the bottom line is this. If you pay for it, pal, you own it. Okay, and if we're paying for these revolutions or to help them out, and we're paying $1 million a missile to blow up sand in Libya, then we ought to own that country. I'm sorry. And that sounds maybe a little too militaristic for folks, but in that respect, you know, you don't want to contribute here? Okay, we're going to do all this like we did in Iraq. You know, we did the bulk of the work. We had a coalition, but we did the bulk of the work. As far as I'm concerned, let's take over the oil fields. We need the oil. Let's pay back for all the expenses we had to get rid of that dictator.
Yeah, not that this was any different under Bush, but just the whole situation that I think is going on in the Middle East. Barack Obama is basically, he's getting schooled by what we would determine would be Muslim scum. I mean, they're schooling him on, he is almost like a fifth and sixth grade football player who's for the first time on the varsity, high school varsity. He's just getting his ass kicked. And I mean, it is almost beyond realistic when I was saying my brain isn't functioning. I'm not speaking clear because I can't believe we have this man as our president. And then he announces his reelection and these people are crying and just kissing his feet. It almost is scary to think that these people who hate America, who get in front of a microphone and preach it, are schooling a U.S. president from A to Z in every topic. It's almost like they don't even fear America anymore. Well, Ronald Reagan actually put the fear back in people. Basically, he shut Gaddafi up, which pretty much shut the Middle East up too, because all countries feared what Reagan would do. With Obama, he's bowing to them.
Well, you see that, you're right. You hit a critical point there. Back in the 80s when Gaddafi had bombed, and I can't remember where it was, it was some American place in the Middle East.
It was in Germany. Germany.
Reagan said, no. We're not going to have this. And he literally bombed that guy's house and ended up, I believe, that his own son would die as a result. Well, that shut Gaddafi up for a long time. I mean, and essentially, I think Gaddafi's perspective was, no, you're not taking over my country, and Reagan is the man to do it. Reagan would have taken over the country in the way in which I just spoke about and would have turned it into something that was a little bit pro-American and a little less Muslim and anti-American. But this president doesn't believe in doing things that way. That's why we have what we have today.
Yeah, and also another thing, correct me if I'm wrong here. Do you think other countries look at us as weak? The reason I ask you this, Tesler, is because when we did the Perry Steele Show, State of Socialism, you had commented about showing some might, and you ended your statement by saying, and let everybody know America is back in business, meaning force. If we have to, we can use force, and this is how it's used. That's why I'm asking you, from your perspective, do you see him as weak?
Of course he's weak. And he's weak because of he's perceived as weak because of his socialist ideology that claims, that believes in a one-world government, that believes that America's sovereignty should be subordinate to the United Nations. He believes that we're not a leader, but we're one of many. And when you see someone as just one of many, you don't see them from a perspective of strength. You see them like yourself, weak or ineffective. These countries now see in America what they see in themselves, thanks to Barack Obama.
Yeah, a difficulty I have, too, is I have great respect for our military. That's one of the reasons I liked Dr. Jones so much, as a 30-year veteran of the Marines. But I find it almost insulting that, I don't know, I don't think he is sincere in the love for our armed forces and for our troops. Let's keep in mind, many of these people are kids, and they are at a very young and unselfish age joining the military to fight for you and I, to give us the freedoms that many who, you know, paid the ultimate sacrifice, and many are handicapped for life or mentally damaged for life. I think with other presidents, there was that love for the military soldiers, as commander-in-chief, every one of those men and women were like their sons or daughters. To work with Barack Obama, I almost see him, and this is my individual opinion, not Dr. Jones's or Tesla's, but I almost see him as President Obama is on the opposition side. He is on the side of whoever is fighting us. That's how I see it. And I say that by fact from what I see.
Well, you're not far from the truth, Mike, at least the way I see it. And here is why. Let's not forget that Barack Obama, okay, even if you accept the fact he was born in Hawaii, the man was not brought up in America. He was brought up in Indonesia. His worldview is very, very different than the average American. I call Barack Obama not un-American. I call him a non-American president, non-American president. And the reason I call him that is because he was heavily influenced by his father, who he barely knew, and his father is what is called an anti-colonialist. The folks from Kenya had a very strong and deep hatred for the English because they colonized that country. And remember that Barack Obama also went to a church for 20 years that practiced black liberation theology. That is a philosophy. That is a Marxist, proven. It is a Marxist philosophy that has no religious basis to it whatsoever. They do feel, Barack Obama feels, his outlook is that the white Western world subjugated his people, subjugated blacks. They did it in America. They did it in Kenya. And as a result, it's payback time. It's remuneration time. And that his honest philosophy is, I think anyway, his honest philosophy is that the money the white folk make here in America doesn't really belong to us. They belong to the people you stepped on years ago. And that's why he's a big proponent of the redistribution of wealth. He doesn't believe that they're entitled to it. But he does believe that his own kind here in the United States are entitled to it.
The bottom line is based on what you said is kind of what, based on the facts that I see. Have we ever, going back as far as you can remember, have we ever asked, have we ever stood up to the Middle East, to this group of oil people that just continue to take advantage of us and said, look, we're the big dog, we're your market, or made threats that we're just not going to take this anymore? Or have we always just, because I remember in my history, I remember reading about gas lines, but I think that was in the 80s. Has it ever been this bad where gas is this high and it's just, these little dilettantes, these countries where we keep their kings and so forth in power, they just continue to pimp us and just take advantage of us in every way, shape, or form, and we don't even stand up to them, whether it's trade or anything. If I were in charge of this country, Saudi Arabia, they would be in a Stone Age river.
Well, I don't think we've ever stood up to them in a military sense, no. But I think that it's entirely possible, and we have the mechanisms to stand up to the Middle East and oil countries in an economic way that would benefit us better than them. Now, for whatever reason, we do kowtow to the Saudi Arabians and some of these other nations that control the oil flow. And from a business standpoint, I have a hard time understanding why we do this. Look, America sucks oil. We live on it. We have so many products that are petroleum-based, most people don't even realize that the mulch, the colorful, nice little mulch that's in your front yard, that's petroleum, that's a petroleum-based product. We eat this stuff like we breathe air. We need oil, and if America is going to remain independent, and hopefully after this president is gone, remain strong, we've got to do something about oil independence, and either we put the Saudi Arabians and those folks in their place, or we get it ourselves from our own ground.
Yeah, well, obviously that's not capable. We got another call. I think it looks like a Virginia area code. I think area code 614. We're with Tesla and Cool Mike.
How's it going, guys? It's actually Ohio. This is Rick out of Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Rick. Go ahead. You want to weigh in on us?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to grab your guys' opinions. I'm not exactly a tree hugger, and I'm not exactly a hippie, but I do like to think that I'm somewhat moral. And, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, do you feel that it's right that America sucks oil? I mean, the amount of oil we consume in a day is equal to the amount of water flowing over Niagara Falls in a 35-minute period. That's the amount of oil we use in a day. Do you think that, with it being a finite resource, do you think we have the right to be consuming this stuff on frivolous needs when it can be applied to such great things at the same time? But yet we consume it for our McDonald's toys. You know, is that fair to subsequent generations of the world? Because there's only so much oil. It will run out.
Tesla, you want to go ahead first and answer?
Yeah. These are not frivolous things. Look, I know it may even sound trivial, but America produces what it produces because we are the greatest country, the most industrialized, and we have the greatest industry leaders of the world. Now, we got to this point after World War II by making things, producing things. The space, the NASA, you know, you guys may not remember. If you know what Velcro is, Velcro came out as a result of the space program. And that is, by the way, a petroleum-based product, Tang, and microwave ovens. You know, you can perceive them as frivolous, but these very same things is what gives us our huge standard of living.
I'm not saying at all that the wonderful things that we produce out of oil, artificial hearts, Velcro, those are absolutely necessary, and they're great. But if we have a resource that is finite, but we also make children's toys out of it, then we don't use it. We don't use it well. You don't need a Hummer that gets 8, 9, 10 miles a gallon to run your kids around to soccer practice or to run yourself around. Just one person.
Okay.
Just because we're the best doesn't mean we should get it all.
Okay, that's a good point. Do I need a Hummer to run my kids around if I had kids or even if I could afford a Hummer? No, I may not necessarily need one, but that's one of the great things about the United States. If I want to have one, I'm going to have one because, number one, I should be able to afford it, and number two, if I want to drive my kids around in such an ostentatious vehicle, I have the right to do it. Now,
Despite everyone else, though. Like, I'll run my kids around in Hummer.
Who's everyone else? Who's everyone else? I don't know. Shit. If it's my money, I don't know anybody anything. If it's my money, I'm going to spend it the way I want. That's the American way. But
I understand that. But that American way is got us landed in the problems we're in now. You know, every gallon of gasoline you burn today, your grandkids won't have tomorrow. Maybe we should be a little more conserving this resource that should be a public trust almost. I mean, our dependence on it is like air or water at this point. So we need to scale back big time on our oil consumption.
Absolutely not. Here's the point. You see, that's a fatalistic view of the United States. Oh, my God, we've got to keep our temperature at 68 because we're going to run out of oil. No, that's not the way to look at it. That's looking at the glass half empty. I look at the glass as half full, and I say, fine, if we're running out of oil, then let's capitalize on other resources. Let's drill here in America. Let's expand nuclear energy. Let's expand solar energy. Let's expand every single available energy resource we have into a production so that all Americans have all the energy they need whenever they want it, regardless of the source. That's how I look at it. That's the positive aspect.
I agree.
And
if
just
say there's
like
30 years
in here. Hang on a second. Hang on. Caller, know this.
Sorry.
Regardless of what your opinion is, you don't have to apologize for yourself. When you call in on this show, be proud of your opinion. We don't hesitate to debate here. So, you know, don't be hesitant. Give your opinion. One of the reasons I like Tesla, because he tells it like it is. When you call in, feel free to tell it like it is. Nobody's going to be swearing at you or name-calling. Stand by your opinion, too, because obviously you're very strong on your convictions there, and Tesla is as well, so am I. So feel free. In the future, feel free to call in, even if it is an opposite opinion. This show is about opposite opinions.
Not that I was backing down from my opinion, but no, I was agreeing to the fact that yes, let's drill here. Let's say we have at our ridiculous consumption rates, we have 30, 50, even 60 years of oil in our ground. We could start pulling, pull it all out of the ground now, and you got 60 years to figure out what you're going to do when it's gone. But that's what I say. There's such a squash on alternative energies. Because if you can keep the supply to look as finite as possible, you can jack up the oil prices.
Tesla, you want to go ahead?
Well, this is where, in a manner of speaking, Rick has certain merits to his issue. The problem is not in American consumption. The problem is the failure of our government and our politicians to meet the needs of we the people. We have a need for energy. Fill that need. You do another moonshot kind of a program. This is what we're going to do, and we're going to do it in 20 years. It has to be positive. Don't tell me to conserve, because that's like Michelle Obama telling me I can't eat french fries. You keep your hands off my french fries, baby. You keep my hands off my Hummer if that's what I want to drive. Now, I don't like those kinds of vehicles. But damn, if some American wants to drive a Hummer that he spent his hard-earned money on and he wants $4 a gallon of gas or whatever, he wants to spend gas at, 9 gallons a mile or whatever it may be,
I'm not advocating legislation against such things. I'm trying to push for a global change of the mindset of the way we use our resources. I don't legislate.
Yeah, which is fine. You're asking people to be a little more conscious and more responsible. I agree with Tesla in the sense where people can do what they want to do. And the only problem is here is that we need nuclear power. We need other forms of energy. We need to step up. But this country does nothing to help. It's cheaper to build solar panel and bring it to the U.S. than it is to bring a solar panel to build a panel in the United States. Is that a true statement? No, but there's legislation that prevents American companies from starting these solar panels to whereas people can build it overseas cheaper. That's ridiculous. Tesla?
Well, no, Mike, what you're saying in general is correct. The need for human conserve, to conserve our resources is an economic need. There once was a time when everybody ran around in an SUV, and then when gas prices hit the roof, they started to dump those suckers like there was no tomorrow. People will keep their heat at 72 or 68 degrees because they don't like the way the electric bill looks, not because they want to conserve energy. That's the basic human instinct. I do the same thing. But the fact of the matter is, if people can afford it, then they should be able to get it, and our government should be leading us in terms of alternate forms of energy in which we don't have to worry about finite resources.
Rick, do you want to go ahead and comment on that?
I'd agree to that 100%. Unfortunately, my own personal belief is that the way our country is ran now, the oil companies have a if you want to look at the nation as a corporation, which it absolutely is, it's nothing more than a big corporation, any country is, the oil companies have majority stock in the company, so of course they're not going to want you to pursue alternative energy because it's going to hurt their wallets. And that's why these things got squashed. That's why the carburetor that'll give you, you know, 20, 30, 40 miles a gallon back in the 70s was squashed at the research phase. You know, the electric car has been held back by BS bureaucratic red tape for years. And
yeah, well, look what General Motors just produced in terms of an electric car. What does it cost, like $40,000? And it can hardly go anywhere. You know, that's not production. I mean, that's an abomination since the government took over General Motors. I mean, I agree with your concepts. But what we don't have is a unified energy policy that has the same idealistic motives and goals that our moonshot has. And when we do finally get that and can inspire American industry to work towards that, then we'll get the energy we finally need.
And, you know, keep in mind is that they have electric cars in other places, not to mention Brazil's energy policy. The way Brazil does it is great, too. But there are cars that are getting electric cars that get much better mileage than this new Chevy Volt that everybody's going crazy over. Why didn't we invent this 20 years ago? I mean, this is America. I mean, and I think it's right. A lot of this stuff is prevented by the current situations. The oil companies bribe the politicians. So we really don't research alternative energies and this and that. The liberals, and Rick, I don't know how you feel about this because you said you're not a tree hugger, but they are against nuclear power. And basically, we've almost been strapped. Our hands are strapped as far as we do have power plants over the U.S., but they can't run in full production because of these the legislation and these liberals. And that hurts us. That hurts us. The issue that we are talking now, how this president is just – I don't even want to talk about him, but the bottom line
One thing I do hate about – where this country is right now, it is the left-right paradigm. It is the liberal versus conservative, and every idea has to be ushered into A or B, and then if you label yourself a liberal, then you can't agree with it if it's been labeled a conservative idea. I hate that paradigm. The left and the right have to be to the left and the right of something, and that's the middle, and the middle is truth and fact. So if we could get a little bit away from the left and a little bit away from the right and kind of hone it in to reality, I think we'd be a lot better off.
Well, I agree. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Kessler, go ahead.
Well, no, really. I think we're over time at this point. I don't know how long you scheduled your show, but
we're still on.
People can still hear us even though your time is out.
Yeah, I think so. Can you hear us? Can you all hear us in the chat room? Can you hear us? Yeah.
Yes,
you can.
Okay.
We're in the archive. Right. It's not live.
Hang on a second. My whole point to bring up is I think these are issues we're talking. Basically, Barack Obama almost forced the Chevy Volt out because basically,
right.
Rick and I and Tesla and others, we own General Motors until they pay the loans back, which I'm all for helping companies like that. But why in the hell weren't these around, you know, 20 years ago to whereas now we're looking at these cars and we're like, dang, do you see this new electric car, 1,000 miles to a charge? I mean, it's almost like we are in the caveman age when it comes to this technology, where Tesla, you had talked about after World War II, we were kicking ass in everything. We were America. I mean, God.
Well, it helped that our major competitors, Germany and Japan, were bombed to hell, and there was no industry left in Europe but
yeah, I think that's probably a good point.
but no, we are absolutely in the Stone Ages when it comes to this stuff. And I got one word for you as what the answer is: lobbyists. That we got to get these freaking lobbyists under control, because that is not a government of the people for the people. That's of the people with the money for the people with the money. Not that I advocate socialism in any way. I love capitalism 100%. When I get on rants about the rich, I'm not talking about the guy with the great idea that goes out and makes himself a couple million dollars. I'm talking about the filthy, stinking, old money rich. You know, they probably got coins in their vault from the Roman era. You know, these imperialistic elitists are the problem, and they got their hand in everybody's pocket, and they bankroll the world. And they're going to put their policies into place whether this freedom-loving country likes it or not.
You mean like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, those types?
Absolutely. You know, I don't delve too big into the conspiracy, but it comes out of Rockefeller's own memoirs. He goes, "Some people may accuse me of being in a group of people that aim to influence the world, and to them, I agree." I screwed the quote up, but something to that effect.
Well, we get the point of that. Tesla,
yeah.
Go ahead. You're up.
Well, there's something to be said, of course, about the old what is essentially called the old money. That old money, of course, being the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and some of these individuals who are so elaborately wealthy that they essentially feel or look upon themselves as above the rest of us. You know, and their progeny, the generations that have succeeded them, like Paris Hilton and some of these spoiled rich brats, all feel the same way, when essentially they really contribute nothing to the world anymore. I don't begrudge them because they're rich, filthy rich, rich beyond my wildest dreams. I begrudge them because they're not really in favor of America, and they have this elitist attitude, which I really don't like. And I think if someone does have to stand up to them or deal with them, whether we have a presidential candidate that can do that now, I don't know.
I don't know if either one of you caught. I got in a lot of trouble. One of the implosions that started my demise with Perry. Is I made a comment regarding if I were president. I said I would be very aggressive right away against the so-called Illuminati. Kessler, do you remember that?
I have to say no, I don't.
I was talking about, I said Andrew Jackson had it right when he wanted to pull out of the Federal Reserve. He knew they would come for him. So a month ahead of time, he sent his troops after them. So he was very proactive. He knew that they would try to assassinate him when he decided to pull America out of the Federal Reserve. And if we were to do something like this, as John F. Kennedy was saying and many others, you have to be actively aggressive against them. And I made the comment about wiping them out. Well, anyway, that upset Perry. Well, anyway, there was an interview with one of the Rothschilds. He's in the second or third grade. I'm not sure. But they were asking him questions. And one of the reasons I say, even if their kid is just a baby, he's going to grow up to be one of them. But anyway, the bottom line is they asked this kid a question, and he made the reference, it really doesn't matter what most of these Americans think. He said, they're not from any money. That's a quote from this kid. Now, you mean to tell me this 8-year-old kid talk? I mean, this is where these, as you were talking, Tesla, these people grow up and their mind is poisoned that they're better at a very young age simply because of wealth, which wealth does give you privilege as far as buying products and status in society. But here in America, it doesn't give you any better constitutional rights than Tesla, Cool Mike, Matt, or anybody else.
Not
to hear that
different.
Little punk make that statement, I just want to reach across there and just beat him. I mean, that is the typical arrogant attitude of not just the rich, and that's great. I agree. If you have money, that's a good thing. But I mean, like, just the arrogant, filthy rich. You know, these people should own their own racetrack. Well, they probably do, actually.
They own all the gambling associations.
To listen to a 7 or 8 year old kid say, it doesn't really matter, they're not from any money. I mean, what does that tell you about this kid when he's 40? You know? I mean,
well, yeah, no, that's a reflection on the upbringing. Of course it is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, with that, folks, I think we do got to bust out. I'm here tomorrow, too, at 11 p.m. I have to work. But also, Rick, Tesler, tell Rick what's going on Saturday evening. Rick, you might like this.
Well, Rick, you know, Mike has got an interview with a presidential candidate on the Republican ticket who's not very well known, but apparently his issue is that he's the he's an avowed, or at least he's a he's an openly gay Republican presidential candidate. And from what I've been able to gather so far, that's his shtick.
Yep, well, he's a Republican, and he also won the straw poll in New Hampshire last week over Romney. He's a conservative who worked for Ronald Reagan. This, you have a chance to actually call in and ask him a question. Tesla and several other from Blog Talk will join me at the panel. Willie Lawson and Laura Boatwright, along with Annie from Southern Sense, will be like our panel. But you have a chance to call in. I don't know when the last time you got to actually talk to a real presidential candidate is, but spread the word. You know,
I don't know when the last time I had a real presidential candidate.
Well, I one thing I like about Fred Carter is that I sent an invitation to a bunch of people. He replied himself. And I saw him on CBS. I saw him on CNN. I saw him on Fox being interviewed. And he gave me the number. He said, this is my communications director. He says, get with her on my calendar. He says, but, yeah. And I told him, I said, have you ever heard of Blog Talk Radio? He said, no. He said, but now that you've told me about it, he said, I told him, I said, well, we reached to a couple thousand people. I said, and my hopes is to, and he never downplayed the fact that we're not a CNN or we're not a Fox News. And, I mean, he called me back. He himself called you back. I mean, you just don't
That's
get
awesome.
That. Yeah, well, not just that, but he was realistic. He was realistic too. He saw my Facebook, and he said, "Are those all your girlfriends?" And I just thought it was really funny that he actually really did go, and he made a comment. And I thought, "Wow!" And I'll tell you something too. If you've never seen Tesla in action in an interview, Rick, you don't want to miss Tesla. I don't know if you ever were shy, Tesla, but the last time we had a guest. Who supposedly was running for president, Tesla chased him off in about 60 seconds. He hung up on us.
Well, so, when was the show, one more time? Saturday?
It's this right where you're at right now, and it's at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I will do my best to catch it.
I can send you a link. If you're in the chat room, I can send you a link of the show. But Tesla will be on the panel. And there's just some other, I don't know how well you follow Blog Talk, but there's some very good people on here who, you know, we're good Americans. We love this country, and that's why we do the Blog Talk shows. And also,
Tesler
has his own show.
Yeah, I'm on Blog Talk 4 hours a night every night. I'm just getting hip to it, but I love this community that's being built right now. If you don't mind, I would like to plug a show I do with my buddy. It's Patriot with a Pen on Blog Talk Radio. And we do that every Friday night between the hours of 9 and 11, and we get as many in-between shows as we can as well, time schedules permitting.
Post your
I appreciate
link
that.
In our chat room. No, feel free. Post your link in the chat room. That's how I met Tesla. That's why he's on this show. I heard him, and I wanted to do a show, so I stole all his material. I actually did, like, another show. And, you know, that's nothing's wrong with that. We're all blog talkers, and there's no egos. There's no we respect everybody for their opinions, although we obviously disagree with some. No, there's no – I mean, this is a great thing. And post your link in the chat room, and hopefully before our show on Friday. You know what? I'm not going to do a show Friday. I'm going to prepare for a Saturday show. But, like, you know, maybe we'll listen in. And Tesla has a show on Sunday you have to listen to. Rick. It's called Socialism. Well, I guess Tesla's here so he can tell you about the show. But I'm his biggest fan when it comes to that. Socialism is not an option is the name of the show. And Tesla is never shy. Whether it's, but they were talking on Sunday, the Muslim guy, or they were talking religion. Man, all hell was breaking loose in that chat room. Jeez. Hey,
that might have been me. I get a couple of those.
Well, the callers were fairly civil because Tesla was keeping it on track. But I'll tell you, if the chat room were a bar, I mean, there would have been a barroom brawl with chairs flying. Man, they were talking Muslim Brotherhood and the right to exist and Constitution. And, oh, my God, it was just, it's great. I sat back and just watched this, and I thought, man, these people are so passionate about. And that's a good thing, whether you agree or disagree. If you sit around and all agree, you don't accomplish much. But if you disagree and still respect each other for your opinion, at least you're making headway on whatever issue it is.
Absolutely. So it forced you to reevaluate
Tesla,
your opinion.
Hang on a second. Tesla, you got you want a closing statement, 30 seconds?
Yeah, just a little bit there. Just to let folks know that my show, Socialism is Not an Option, is produced on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, and that edition is called the Roundtable Roundup. On Saturdays, it's at 4 p.m. Eastern. That edition is called American Exceptionalism. And on Sundays, as you referred to, it's at 4 p.m. Eastern, and that's the Hot Topic edition. And believe me, it does get hot, like you say. But that's essentially it, Mike. You've done a good job for your first full show on your own. I wanted to make sure I was your first caller to congratulate you and tell you you're doing a good job.
Thanks. Oh, by the way, Tesla, if you look in the chat room, looks like your fan club wants you to run for president. Tesla for president.
Yeah, I know.
Four times.
Alrighty,
Rick, thanks, Tesla. Rick, 30 seconds. Oh, no. Looks like we lost.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'll close, like I close every show. I'd like to advocate Operation Grow Freedom. Start growing your own food right now, and you'll be able to take care of yourself.
Amen.
That's
my
2 cents.
I'm very big on that. Also, Rick, put your link in the chat room and let everybody know about your show. That's great. And if I can make it in time for Friday, hopefully I'll be off work at that time. You know, I'll jump in and join you towards the second half of your hour. And feel free to call in anytime you want on this show.
All right, I appreciate it.
Agree or disagree.
I appreciate you leaving my mic on.
Oh, we don't mute people unless you start insulting, but that's not the way it works here. And as much as I used to be with Perry Steele, he was we've kind of parted ways, but he was a great mentor and a very good teacher. And you know, we had a rule that the show was about the people. So unless you start swearing or get a little crazy, well, Perry only muted people who disagreed with him. But the bottom line is that, you know, as long as you're fairly civil, and you should go back and listen to the show Sunday that Tesla had, because that's a perfect example of where the host steps in or not steps in. Because when you're fighting religion, especially talking Muslim and American, and that's such a tough issue right now, because it just brings out so much passion in people. So that's kind of a good example, and I listened to it again to school me on just how not to let it things get out of hand and how to try to keep things under control. But that's going to do it for us all. Thank you again for calling, guys. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Eastern time.
All right, Mike. You take care. Good luck to you, please.
Good night, everybody.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good night.